happy this morning to give to you a small thumbnail sketch of the student work that we're doing. Not only are we associated at Mindanao State University in Marawi, but at the present time we are also serving as chairman of the school board at Malabong, at the plantation sponsored and run by Mr. Dick Spencer and Mrs. Spencer, who came over here in 1901 in the educational field and still are very interested in this area. In the primary school, we have 650 students. Most of them are Muslim in the background, and 115 in the private school. It is the desire of the school board to be able to give to these people the best education that is available on the island of Mindanao, in public and in high school. And this we have achieved because last year our school won first prize in the best library in all of the Philippine Islands, in the school systems, in the public school systems. The reason of this is that we feel that this is an area that we are able to minister through education, public education, for the school. The grade school is a mestizo school. The items are furnished by the government, the teacher salaries furnished by the government, but the buildings and much of the administration is through the plantation and ourselves as director of the school board. We're interested not only in their education, of course, which we do follow and upgrade even the curriculum of the public school systems, but we're very interested in other areas, in their health, in their family planning, in their culture, in their relationship living one with another. And most of our teachers are Christian, and when you go to the music classes or you walk through the buildings and you hear them singing, it sounds almost like you are in Sunday school. And God is using that ministry to reach hundreds of families on the plantation in Malabong. But the other area of ministry and student work goes into the college work. First of all, let me say that I really, until about a year ago, had very little vision to reach the Muslim population. I regret that lack of vision on my part, but the Holy Spirit has begun over a year or more ago to deal with my heart to minister more and more amongst these people, and God has graciously fulfilled this desire of my heart, and I trust that this conference will even inspire and do greater work not only for me but for the four Mindanao State University students that are with me today who represent just a very small segment of our student work on the campus. About 4 years ago, the Agape Fellowship started. It started very small. Now, if we were to number ourselves, because we do not have a membership, I could truly say that we have a group of students that would come and go, numbering over 200, with many who've already graduated, who've gone out in the areas of ministry and public work. It was my desire to minister to the college student after many years of working in seminary work, because we felt that if we were able to take these college kids and bring them to a beautiful relationship with Christ, and that they could leave that school and go out and get a job and become affiliated with an evangelical church and to be a pillar in that church in ministry and also in finance. And I have some very excellent feedbacks from pastors and ministers throughout the nation who have attested to that which we have mentioned to you. Agape Fellowship is a very loose fellowship. As you say, we have no membership particularly. We do know who who comes, we do have some type of direction. But because of the very peculiarness of the school, approximately 4,000 students, half of them being of the minority Islamic groups of people, and approximately half of them are Christian. And so our situation at Mindanao State University is a little different than it might be in other schools. But we have endeavored to make the work there self-supporting. By self-supporting, I mean the student body, the students have been taught to give to the Lord, and financially the work that we do is supported not from outside sources, but is supported 100% by the students themselves, also in self-governing. After a year or so of ministering very, very closely with them, we let them and turned them loose, and today I would say that 85 or 90% of their ministry that they're doing is that which they themselves have chosen to do. Let me give to you just a little background of how it started. God has allowed us to have a very beautiful palatial home in the city of Iligan that belonged to the former president, Macapagal. And in this we have what we call the Palm Springs Retreat House. We live beside a very beautiful artesian-fed river and a very large yard with all the contents necessary for youth retreats. And we began to invite the students to come down and share our facilities with us over the weekend. And they would come down, and many of them would come to our house. But then as an outgrowth of that, we had started the Agape Fellowship on the campus. And today, God has blessed in a marvelous way. There are a couple of things that we started out to do. First of all, I said, if I can get the friendship and the approval of the faculty and the administration, then I have the students. It is easier to get the approval of the faculty and to become a friend of the staff and the faculty, and then the students will follow. If you go after the students, you will sometimes cannot get the faculty members. And so one harvests the other one. And so it was my personal desire and a very ultimate goal of mine to become very personally acquainted and associated on a very personal basis with the members and the staff of Mindanao State University, insomuch that our former president, President Tamano, and I have shared together many times prayer. When we've had some terrible problems on the campus of Mindanao State University in Marawi City, President Tamano and I have joined hands together in prayer. And we have prayed, he in his own way and me in my own way. And I have promised him that every time I come to the city of Manila, which I do, whenever he's in town, but most of the times he's over in Saudi Arabia or other countries in that area, that I take a taxi cab and go out to his home and we spend time in prayer. I never leave a faculty member's home at Mindanao State University without praying. Emily Marhumsar, the vice president, and I, we pray and we share together because I believe that this is one way that we can let our light shine, one way that we can touch their lives without trying to preach to them. In so doing, God has allowed us to have a very lovely relationship with the faculty and the administration. In fact, at the present moment, I am considered a guidance counselor and a consultant to the university, to the state university, and I am officially on the staff at that, and which does, of course, as you can see, make our student work all the more easier when we sit and have our own office and our own chair. But God has marvelously ministered in the area of the student work. First of all, we have them coming from the various provinces and the various religious backgrounds, including Muslims, which we have two with us today who have found Christ as their personal Savior and are in leadership in our fellowship. But it is our desire to be able to have all these young people come there and find Jesus Christ real to them. And it might interest you to know that a goodly number of the students that come from the different evangelical Christian churches. When they come on the campus, they do not let their light shine, and their witness is no longer valid. Until later on we find them, and sometimes then they come to a real working knowledge of Christ again, and experience and relationship, and we've had them say to us, imagine that I had to come to a Muslim school. I came here hoping that I would not have the religious background, the influences of my parents, but I've come here and I have found Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And they have said that though they ran away, they found Christ at the campus, and we're very grateful for this particular testimony. Our student work includes various areas of outreach. We have many different outreaches. We have a Sunday morning worship service that would be equal to our Sunday services in our regular churches off campus. Then we have our Bible study programs that are very, very systematically carried on, not only within the Agape Fellowship at the Shalom House, but also in the different parts of the campus. The students minister one to another, and this is where I feel that we're able to reach into the lives of not only those with the Christian background, but those of the Islamic faith, that our students who are personal friends and who have this friendship and fellowship one with another can meet them on a neutral basis, meet them on a somewhere in the campus, in the canteen, or in the classroom, or under a tree, and begin to witness to them because of the testimony of our students on that campus. Many of the students are aware that the Agape Fellowship is there. For we had constantly said to our fellowship, we want our testimony. We want you to be the best academics that's on the campus. We want your life to be such that when they know that you belong to the Agape Fellowship, that you will be a real witness and a real testimony, that people will recognize that you have something that they need. And we've challenged these students, and thank God, in many, many areas, this has been very, very true. Our outreach not only reaches out into the dormitories, not only reaches out into the classrooms or on an individual basis on the campus, but the outreach and the spirit of evangelism in our Agape Fellowship reaches out to the service personnel, for we have anywhere from 20 to 25 checkpoints along the highway from Marawi to Iligan. We stop and minister to them by song, by word, by giving them cakes and cookies, personal testimonies, and witnessing to them, witnessing to the personnel, the military personnel who are based on the campus there. And thank the Lord, a goodly number of the military are attending our regular services. Another outreach that we have beside in the city of Allegan, such as going to the city jails and going to the churches and going to the public schools, the grade schools, and ministering there in various types of ministries, plays and musicals or just Bible studies, is that on the campus, we don't have this year, but we did last year, we had a very active basketball team. And in the going out and playing in different communities, military bases in different communities, during the half, our musical group would do the witnessing and do the singing and pass out gospel literature. And our basketball players were all in very beautiful uniform, even better than the Mindanao State University team in itself. And this was a great witness. And I wondered recently why we didn't reinstitute it this year, but that's something we'll have to look for in the second semester. Not only do we reach out in that particular manner, but our students, as all students love, musicals and dramas and plays, two or three or four times a year, our students are able to put on a Christian drama in the science lecture hall. And this past week, We had two nights and the building was jam-packed, not only filled on the aisles, but people standing on the outside until they could even see from the very distance that they were there. And there was about 65 or 70 young people that took part in this musical and in this drama. This is one way that the gospel can be set forth. For many of the people, the students who are not Christian in background, will come to a drama such as this, will come to a presentation such as this. And if this presentation is Christian-orientated, strongly influenced with the gospel seed is planted. And without them realizing it, they are in a church. They are there receiving a message, and this is one of the ways that our young people at the Agape Fellowship have been witnessing. Not only do we have an area such as this, but God has allowed us to have a goodly number of Christian movies, scientific movies Moody Science that are constantly being used by the different departments of Mindanao State University, and they are being shown officially in the school by the chemistry teachers or by the biology teachers or whatever subject they may be interested in carrying forth and in that hour, as well as other type of Christian movies, one of which you will see tonight. These movies are shown on the campus and free to all, and there are hundreds and hundreds of students who come. But the great part that I am so thrilled about is that our Agape Fellowship students have learned to be concerned of their fellow students. They have learned to really, really share their faith with others. And from that background, we can see that our fellowship has beautifully grown. And I'm grateful that God has allowed us to have this ministry not only on this campus, but enlarging it in others. And I want you to pray that our Agape Fellowship will become very, very concerned with the other segment of the students there, and that God would lead us and direct us to put more of our efforts on reaching the minority that are on the campus. And that's the reason these students have come, so that we might, together with all of us, learn how to do what God wants us to do. Thank you, and God bless your hearts today. We're very happy. Our medical program called Operation Mercy, that is approximately 5 years old. Numerically, at this present moment, we've had the privilege of extending medical services of our Filipino surgeons and our oral surgeons, as well as our anesthesiologists, in 17 major cities throughout the Mindanao region and up as far as Cebu. And the number that we have now is over 900 people who have received the blessings of the program called Operation Mercy. It did not start out with the intent to reach into the Muslim world, but we have gone into major areas where the predominance of population has been the Muslim people. But we find it very difficult to do so because of the fact that many of our doctors, or most of our doctors, are Christian Filipino doctors, and I use the word Christian in a broad sense, who find it that they have a inbuilt fear to operate on Muslim people. And oftentimes when we try to set up the program in a Muslim area, my doctors will not voluntarily go, unfortunately. There are other reasons too, because of the fear of the people themselves to submit themselves to operations performed by Christian doctors, and we have a great problem to overcome. Therefore, we have not specialized, but we have had the privilege of being in Marawi twice. We've been in Malabon twice, we've been in General Santos twice, and in those areas we have had the privilege of operating and extending our medical program to the Muslim world. To those of you who may not know the program, We have 15 Filipino surgeons and staff that donate their time. We travel in the various cities operating on hair lips, the cleft lip and the cleft palate. The reason that we specialize in this is about threefold. First of all, because of the very psychological impact that it makes upon the child to carry that disfigurement of their face the rest of their life. Many of them do not enter into school or into public service. Many of them are not able to adjust to a way of living that would be satisfactory. And secondly is the fact that an operation of this kind is very simply done. It does not take a lot of equipment. It does not take a lot of time. Thirdly, it does not take a lot of money. It can be, a program like this can be well put together on a very limited budget. And the program also then multiplies the use of talents because we have the cooperation of not only these of the donors who help to supply the medical supplies and medicines and sutures and equipment, but that the local people, the hospital, whether it be private or government-wise, the local physicians also will contribute. And everyone on the staff, including myself, receives no remuneration whatsoever for any of their abilities or of their contributions of time or otherwise for an operation such as we do. One question that many of you may ask, how come there are so many hair lips in the Philippine Islands? I cannot answer that question because that would only be academic. But we do know that we have over 300 who are on the waiting list at the present moment. And the reason that they're not being taken care of is not altogether the fact of lack of budget, but it's the lack of being able to put the program together and to expedite it and get it all coordinated. Because actually this is not my major work. This is what I do on the side, as it were, because I am interested in ministering to the physical needs of the Filipino people. If I carefully study what Jesus did, you will find that Jesus touched the physical bodies of the people before he endeavored to touch their soul. He gave them a loaf of bread before he told them that he was the bread of life. I find it extremely difficult to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, the bread, when they're sitting there thinking about a loaf of bread that they want to eat. Secondly, I'm also realize that this is a very visual way of being able to portray love and concern to people who are less fortunate, I mean physically. It is one that not only makes a tremendous impact on the life of the patient, but it makes an impact on the life of the family. It makes an impact on the community, reaching into the highest echelons of the people, including the governors and the mayors and the people that we work with. For this particular reason, we have felt that this is a way that we can serve our community, that we can serve people. And God has allowed us to be the coordinator and the catalyst that has put this program together, which has been very, very much used of the Lord. Just a moment to tell you how we do. Usually we go into a city, shall we say, like the city of Zamboanga. We would come into this city by invitation of a civic organization or some other group of people who would help us to spearhead it. We must have the invitation of the mayor and the governor of the community. We must have the invitation of the medical society because we do not want to offend any areas of the professional field. Then when 30 or more patients are found within a community, then hopefully we try to set a date with our doctors, bring our doctors in on a Friday morning and start to operate and operate all day Friday, all day Saturday, and conclude the operation with 30 or more patients on Saturday, Friday, and Saturday. Sunday, many of those patients are already dismissed from the hospital. When we have arrived in a town, we contact an evangelical pastor to be able to work with us because he will be there much longer than I will be, and we use him as a front man for obvious reasons, of course. Also, we provide for their youth group or their ladies group gifts to give to the people on the day of their operation. On the day that we dismiss them from the hospital after taking their pictures, of course, I give them a Gideon New Testament or other literature in relationship to salvation done in their language and with the local contact pastor on that material. We also provide for them all of the medications that's necessary for before the operation, during the operation, and afterwards. All instructions as a complete package, we have it down to the finest refinement. For when my doctors fly into the city of Zamboanga, they know that Brother Floyd Hurst will have all the medicines, everything necessary on their beck and call to be able to make a successful operation. They will not need to be embarrassed. Everything works down to the finest minute detail. We have what we call a mass operation, where we come in and do a program such as this. Over a weekend, we did the astronomical number of 103 in one weekend, simultaneously in the city of Osamas and Oroquieta. We had a staff of 15 surgeons and dedicated nurses and all who have worked overtime, and we did 103 operations starting Friday morning, concluding Sunday afternoon in just one weekend. And so God has allowed us to make tremendous impacts in areas just with this type of a program. We're not suggesting that others enter into this because each one has their gift. However, if God directs you, we'd be very happy to help you to set up a program such as this and give to you any guidance that we also could give to you. Then we have a sustaining program where we have been in one of the major cities, and we've been in 17 major cities and doubled back numbers of times. We try to leave a doctor, a surgeon in that community who has become involved in our first going in, our first or second time, not just to observe, but to become involved. Many Filipino surgeons are excellent in other parts of the anatomy, but many of them have never done a hair lift because the hair lift is a cosmetic operation, and many families do not desire to afford their expenditure of money on something that is not under debt. Because they just relegate that child as backwoods and back in the back room, and therefore leave it there. But when somebody comes along with a program like ours, they're willing to accept it. So many surgeons, though very successful and very devoted, have never operated on a cleft lip or a cleft palate. And so we endeavor to teach the local surgeon to become involved. And that after I leave, there is a sustaining program in numbers of cities where any Filipino arriving at this doctor, going to this hospital, they will be operated on without any questions or without any red tape. And every so often I swing by and pick up the biodata, the pictures, and take care of the cost of the medicines. This is what we call our sustaining program. We also carry on a very sustaining program in the city of Iligan. At any time, any hair lip or cleft palate comes into the city of Iligan, brought in by the Peace Corps missionaries or pastors, we will, within 2 days of your arrival, be able to do the operation, providing you have cleared it with us before you come, so that we know who's coming, the age, and meeting certain qualifications physically, we're able to carry this program on. I'm glad that God has given to us this ability to be able to coordinate it with the people of America, with our fine Filipino surgeons and our nurses and our doctors, and with the cooperation of the government in loaning to us their facilities of the provincial and the city hospitals. And I'm very, very grateful that we have been able to minister in this area. In closing, some people ask me, why do I do this? Well, first of all, I had a next-door neighbor boy at the age of just the second grade, was already a dropout from school. For every time he went to school, he got into a fight because his neighborhood children called him the goat because his teeth protruded. And he could not speak well, and so he was ridiculed, and so he refused to go to school. And it was then that I saw this great need. I hand-carried this young boy myself to the city of Cebu with another boy. There I saw this transformation medically done by our surgeons, and in just a 3 or 4 days later, we brought him back and transformed his life completely. This young boy happens at the present time to be going to our church is well adjusted. I have before and after shots of it, and I've carried a lot of publicity on him. But this isn't the only reason I'm doing it. I'm doing it because Jesus said that we should do it. That he ministered to the lame and to the halt and to the blind. I do not know if you have ever seen 40 or 50 hare-lips in one room at one time. You may see one, but I have seen 40 or 50 of them in one room. And I want you to know they are not beautiful. It is not a beautiful sight. I want you to know that though I have dealt with hundreds and hundreds and have held many of those children on my lap, every time I go through an operation, it is an emotional strain as far as I'm concerned, because I realize that we are doing something in the life of that child, transforming a life that can become an asset, a valuable contribution to the community. And my prayer is that God would allow me to continue to do this work. Then the secondary is, I do not know. I'm not interested basically in the amount of converts, quote, unquote. We can proof many of them, of course. But it may be that in some years to come, there may be a man or a woman sitting in a place of authority in the city of Manila who will be able to make a decision whether or not missionary work can continue. There may be a man or a woman sitting in a city hall somewhere who will be able to give the permit or to refuse a permit for a gospel meeting or an outreach for Christ. And that person may be a hare-lip that has been operated on by Operation Mercy. And that person can say, someone showed me love. Someone showed concern to me when I was in need. I cannot turn my back on such love. I love my neighbor by not voice, but by action through Operation Mercy. Thank you, and God bless your hearts.